Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com here on BlogTalkRadio.com. This is Pastor Steve Lee. I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And because the Lord is moving in a mighty way, it's my pleasure to let you know that you can hear us also on the Live Deliverance broadcast. You can hear them on Facebook at facebook.com/events/www.blogtalkradio.com/LiveDeliverance. Also, you can reach us on Apple at podcast.apple.com/US and on Player FM at Player FM series /live deliverance. Because the Lord is releasing his glory in a mighty way all over the world, we'd like to ask you to get involved with this ministry and invite some of your friends, family members, or even co-workers to come and listen and be blessed. Don't forget that today's ministry will be available for you to share with them about 10 minutes after the broadcast. Just go to the website, LiveDeliverance.com. Look for Pastor Steve Lee, the day of the broadcast. So, again, go ahead and get a pen and some paper. That if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions, those comments. And please know that I'm only here because of what the Lord has said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, that we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in him in all things, even Christ, who is the head, of whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, now, having said all that, we can get down to the kingdom business that we have. So if you would, go ahead and join your hearts with me in a word of prayer. I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth at this time, in this place, because of your spirit, your word, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, revealed to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, this is a faithful word, an active word, and a confirmed word, part four. And we've kind of looked at some things. I want to review and then get into the deeper part here. But God has already given us a faithful word. You can see that reference in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and I have increased in good, and I have no need of anything. And know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I say unto thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, whereas thou you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten them, so that they would be jealous after a godly sort and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcome, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I am overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The church at Laodicea was located in the Roman province of Asia, and what we know as modern Turkey today. It was the last of the seven churches that were addressed in the book of Revelation. And this pronouncement suggests that the Christians at Laodicea, they kind of wavered in their commitment to the Christian faith. The church of Laodicea took up what would be the equivalent of four blocks. And it was at the beginning of the fourth century. I find it uncannily obvious that in that day, the Lord had to warn the church about the exact same things that's going on in the body of Christ today. They were present, but they did not hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And in this case, God even made it more clear. He said, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know, lukewarmness causes our spirit to be dull of hearing, and it causes us to be out of position. In Psalms 138, verse 6, he says that though the Lord be high, yet he has respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Yeah. And that's about where we can experience our lives today. There is not an abundance of people that know God intimately, in a close proximity. You know, we go about doing our own thing, minding our own business, not being the ones that understand that we should be about the business of the Lord. Yeah, yeah. But I bring to your thoughts, you said that because you are lukewarm and you're not hot or cold, he said he's going to spew you out of his mouth. Now, this would be like, you know, if you've had a bad taste in your mouth, a mixture of that which you wanted, and maybe the food wasn't good, it was spoiled. There was a mixture of good and bad. at the same time. So what God did, rather than pronouncing the blessing, which is all good, which he wanted to say to you, he just spit that mixture that we gave him out of his mouth to get rid of that bad taste and the stench of our own efforts. Because we don't recognize sometimes that we were created for his good pleasure. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. See, you were placed on the earth to just take care of your business. You were sent here so that you can do the will of God, so that you can enjoy eternity. You know, God is wanting to have heaven filled with his children. But if we don't go and tell them, if we don't live before them the holiness that's necessary, then that process probably won't happen. Yeah. He wants us to be able to be close to him and to bring everybody that we know in the same proximity. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, God wants you to be close to him. This is what he says. He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Everything that God has said to us, he's faithful. He says in Numbers chapter 19:23, he says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? See, sometimes I know it looks like we're not going to be able to get to where we need to, that the promise that was spoken, it just doesn't seem like it's moving fast enough. But see, God is faithful that promised. Our job would be to have a faithful word that becomes an active word, so that it can be a confirmed word, so that you can see it. See, the word was meant to be tangible so that you can hold it, so that you can operate in it. See? God sent Jesus, and Jesus was the word of God. And he says, now we get to behold or look at him. We get to handle him as the Son of God that was true from the very beginning. We get to handle it. I guess the problem that we would have is that we just don't handle it correctly. You know, sometimes we handle the word of God being, instead of operating from the position of faith. See, he's not opposed to you having the things that you want, because he said he would supply all your need. So then that's taken care of. So the only thing that could be left is the things that you would want. And he's not opposed to you having the things that you want. He just doesn't want the things to have you. That's how special you are to God. Amen. Individually and collectively. See? You know, God doesn't have stepchildren. All he has is children. It doesn't even matter about your age, young or old. You're still a child of God. And being a good parent, you want to give things that are good for your children, and you want to give good things to your children. You got that from God. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. So he wants to continue to shower you. The Bible says he wants to daily load you down with benefit. See? He wants you to be blessed so that you can cause other people to experience the blessing through you. That's why he told you that when you come to him, he'll make you fishers of men. He'll make you the bait for them so that they can come in. See? So that they would see his word working in your life. And then ask, how does that happen? In the day that we're living in, it's going to be more and more necessary for our testimony to draw people in. Because he said, if I be lifted up, then I'll do the drawing, and I'll draw, A-L-L, all men unto me. See? God wants to fill the whole earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the same way that the waters cover the sea. And we know we can't separate the water from the sea. So God wants to have intimate relationship with us, as close as the water is to the sea. Yeah. So he told us that what we should do is we should cause that faithful word to become active. Draw nigh unto him with a true heart in full assurance. Wow. See, this invitation that he gave us, he wants us to come to him, hang out with him with a true heart. Not a heart that's divided, because the Old Testament version said that he told us to love the Lord your God with A-L-L, all of your heart, all your soul, all your strength. See? He's a God of all, or he's not your Lord at all. See? He's not the one that goes to second place. That's not because of his ego. That's because he wants to bless you from the initial blessing, not the secondary blessing. He's trying to get you to experience all. Amen. See? He doesn't want to withhold anything from you. That's what it says. He in Psalms 84:11, he said he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. See? He's interested in you. Enjoying. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. Yeah. See? He wants you to be able to brag on him, if you would. See? Give voice to the greatness of your God. Yeah, yeah. And we don't have to fight for this. He's already given to every man the measure of faith. And the just live by faith. See? We maybe haven't studied it out accurately so that we can enjoy our life from what faith produces. Because that's what he did for Adam. Adam did not want for anything. Adam was so satisfied with the life that God placed him in that Adam didn't, A, he did not know he was naked, okay? And B, he did not know that he needed a helpmeet. God said it's not good for man to be alone. The man didn't come complaining. Said, I need somebody. God said it. Okay? Because he had already named all of the animals and everything was there, but he didn't find a help that was fit or able to be what God wanted it to be for him. See? He said, so what we'll do is we will make him a help meet. You know, there are times that we go and do it our way, just like Abraham did. He was listening to someone other than God. He listened to his wife, and his wife said, well, it might be that God will give you a seed through my handmaid. And, I mean, you didn't have to, you know, for Abe to have permission to allow his way to be done. That's all he was looking for. But when that happened, notice that he created a smelly thing. It smells. Yeah. See? And so then God had to come back and fix it again so that the man can be placed back in, wow, so that the man can be placed back in the promise. Amen. All right, we'll do it this way. When Moses went out to look for a land of promise. We call it the promised land. God was interested in getting man back inside his promise, to cause him to live in his promise. Because it's in him we live, it's in him we breathe, it's in him we have our being. Him being the word. Amen. For the just shall live by his faith. See? I mean, that's when it gets good, beloved. Okay. It gets good because, okay, this is one of the reasons why it gets good. Because God watches over his word to perform it. All right? Let's understand that. He's always looking at the promise that he's made so that he can cause that promise to come to pass in our lives. He watches over that word diligently. That's why he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he's watching over that word to bring it to pass. This is the God that's connected to your life, that wants to live through you, that he wants to be able to do exactly what he did with Samuel, because God is no respecter of persons. He does respect faith. But it was stated about Samuel that God did not let one of his words fall to the ground. Wow. See, God wants us to be able to live in that same power, in that same covenant position, that we will be able to declare and decree a thing, and it will be established unto us. Yeah. Okay. But it's going to require us to, first of all, as he said here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and 23, he says, come, draw nigh with the true heart in full assurance that faith works. See, faith does not need your assistance. Faith does not need anything added to it. Faith works. Amen. Okay? But we have to come to this place of understanding with a true heart. Not a partial heart, divided heart. A heart that thinks, well, I can do it just as good as God can, because I know what I need. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what you need. Listen to this, before you even ask. How about that, y'all? That's how intricate God wants to be in your life. That before you ask, he is already answered. Amen. See? That's taking a faithful word, causing it to be an active word. See? So that as that happens now, you can get that word confirmed. See? I mean, we've got to know why we are actually on display. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, that to the intent that God would show his manifold wisdom through us, the church. Okay? He wants to show everybody his faithfulness. He wants to show everybody how he watches over his word. Okay? To bring it to pass. This is the heart of God. He gives you what you should study so that you can hear what he's saying. Beloved, let me say this. God is always talking. Okay? If he has to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the beginning, God said. So then he has to always be talking. You see? Our job is to find out how to hear what he's saying. Then after we hear it, how to walk it out in faith. He wants us to have a true heart in full assurance of faith. You belong there, beloved. You were invited there. He expects you there. He's already made provisions for you. A true heart hears his spirit. Excuse me. A true heart hears his word. Because you know that the one that started it is the one that is going to finish it. Okay? I don't have to go and try to work it up myself. Jesus told us again. There are scriptures here. I'm going to get to them and try to dig into them, but I just want to let you know. He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. See? Take my yoke and learn. Learn of me. I don't know why we've been trained this way. We want to learn about the problems more than we want to learn about the promise. When you learn about the promise, you remove the problem. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. Every, the knee of lack, frustration, whatever name you want to fill in the blank with, every knee shall bow. Okay? And know that Jesus is Lord. Again, everybody, you know, says they want to know Jesus as Savior, but it takes another position of heart to allow him to be Lord. Because that means I got to stop doing it my way. I want to go into his presence, the heart that's true with full assurance of faith. Knowing that faith never fails. One of the reasons that faith will never fail is because love never fails. And faith worketh by love. See? That's why he asked us, commanded us to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. Why? Because when you love like that, love never fails. See? We've got to give God a true heart. See? And like I said, a true heart is listening to his spirit, hears his spirit. A true heart, a heart that's surrendered, is not a heart that would be condemned. And so then when you know you're not condemned, what it says in 1 John, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And when we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. See, a true heart doesn't have to be worried about being condemned. A true heart stands in the presence of God ready to receive. See? A true heart does not have an evil conscience. Because when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is the promise. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of the sin, one, and to cleanse you from all, A-L-L, unrighteousness. So then I cannot have condemnation and an evil conscience, can I? See? But what the enemy has done is try to convince you that you don't deserve it. Let me hurry up and tell you, you didn't deserve it. You can never deserve it. See? Mercy was what God displayed in the Old Testament. When they did the wrong, but he didn't punish them for the wrong, he gave them mercy. That was good. But what happens under the new dispensation, because we have a better covenant based on better promises, this is what happens for us. He gives us what we don't deserve. That's what grace does. See, mercy didn't give you what you deserve, but grace gives you what you don't deserve. See, because this is all based on better promises. The promises that came from the man, Christ Jesus. The reason that's important is because, see, sometimes we'll think that God forgot about us, not thinking about us. But to show you how much Jesus is always thinking about you, Hebrews chapter 7, 25 says, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. He ever liveth to do. There's not anything else on the heart of Jesus but the saints that he's praying for. He ever liveth for that. Okay? And that's the man, Christ Jesus. Okay? Because there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, whose living purpose every day is to intercede so that we would have revelation imparted unto us, so that we would have this true heart of full assurance of faith. See? A true heart is not condemned or does not have an evil conscience, thinking about the stuff that you messed up that he's already forgiven you for. As a matter of fact, really, actually, before you even did it, he had already forgiven you. That's what the blood of Jesus did. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. See? He didn't wait on you to get saved. See? He made promise, and he wants to cause you to live in that land of promise. He's inviting you into that land. You know, it's kind of like this. You know, when Adam was first made, what happened is God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And then Jesus came and he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He redid what God did in the beginning because of the things that Adam messed up. He reinstituted it. And this time, it's not based on you, beloved. It's based on Jesus. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. See? He caused the promise that he put in front of us this time to be faithful until the end. See? We have to get that into our thinking. Then we have to secondarily get that into the atmosphere so that other people can hear what the love of God is saying. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. A true heart has no fear. Why? Because fear has torment. See? God does not want you to be living a life full of torment. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, take my yoke, learn of me, and you'll find the rest unto your souls. Because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. See? He does not want you to live with fear or worry, dread or apprehension. He wants your heart to be one that has full assurance of faith. That kind of gets me all excited. See? Because then I know that his plans, his thoughts that he thinks towards me, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts to give me or bring me to the desired end result. Those, that's his thoughts that he thinks towards me. See? So I don't have to be worried. I don't have to have an evil conscience. See? I can go and do what he said. I can have my mind renewed. See? I don't have to live by information that was given to me prior to Jesus. I only want the information that Jesus, the words that he spoke, which are spirit and life, I need those words so I can have my mind renewed. So I will no longer be an enemy against God. I'll be a son that's walking with him. Okay? Because that's what he wants. He came down, and even the Christmas cards that we have, it says that it's Emmanuel, God with us. See? He's no longer mad at us. It said peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The one that doesn't deserve it, I'm going to have goodwill towards them. See? I'm going to cause them to be established in the love they didn't even understand. Come on, God. See, I'm going to get them to be established in that love. See, the way you hear Paul says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. See, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. I don't have to know the suffering. I need to know the fellowship. Why was he there suffering? That's the fellowship of his suffering. I get to know the why of a thing. With a renewed mind, I will get the revelation of the why. Because if I don't have the revelation of the why, I probably won't give it the same import that it needs to have. People gave you gifts for Christmas, and if it wasn't the one that you wanted, you threw it over your shoulders like a Christmas socks, right? Why? Because you didn't know the import of it. See? And God wants you to have your mind renewed so that you would then understand, wow, that's the fellowship of his suffering. Why he did that for me. Even if I was the only one in the world, he would have still did it because I could not fellowship with him any longer. Because of sin. See? So he wants you to know that fellowship of suffering. Why did you do that, Jesus? For the great love wherewith he loved us. See? We're going to be able to see that and then say, it does not appear what we think we are, but he's going to show us what we are. Yeah. It don't even appear what we should be. But he's going to cause our minds to be renewed so that we will understand not only the glory, Father, I thank you for that, not only the glory because you've been crowned with glory and honor, but I will not only understand the glory, but I'll understand the fellowship of his suffering. You know, if I don't understand the fellowship of his suffering, I'll probably abuse the glory. Yeah. Yeah. That's just the way it works because we are sometimes ignorant, even though he said, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual things. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he's going to give this wisdom to you liberally. And he's not going to be mad because you ask. Why? Because he wants you to understand the fellowship of his suffering. That the people that you look at and you get mad at, he died for them. We need to partake of the fellowship of his sufferings for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. What was he doing? He was thinking about me. Glory to God. Saying, I'll be able to give him a revelation of what I was doing at Calvary. And then he'll ask if he can enter into the fellowship of his sufferings, knowing that he did that for me, for his great love for me. See? That's what we need to do, taking a faithful word and making it an active word. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22-23 says that we're supposed to have a true heart of full assurance of faith. One heart does not condemn, don't have an evil conscience, has no worry, no fear, no dread, no apprehension. And then because you have that, I want you to, all this is right there for us. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And then it says that because you can do that, having your bodies washed, wow, with pure water. So I'm not going to be this old ugly thing all the time. He says if you have a true heart that is in full assurance, knowing that you belong there and your provision is there, that you're not condemned, you don't have to have worry, fear, dread, apprehension. Now you can go ahead to the next step and receive the washing for your body. Oh, my God. The Bible says in Hebrews that he wants us, chapter 6, chapter 5, he wants us to be a full age. Okay? That by reason of use, we will have our senses exercise to know the difference between good and evil. See, your body will even be washed. Your body will no longer yearn for stuff that you knew you don't need. Amen. Amen. See, but this doesn't happen if you don't, first of all, come with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Because you'll keep saying to God, you don't deserve it. You'll keep reminding God that you'd rather be the old man. That's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. So it's to add all these things, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, the knowledge, temperance. He says, because if you don't, you're going to forget something. You're going to forget that you were once purged from your sins. See? You become blind. Turn over there just so you can see that. That's just good. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5. Go to verse 6. And we're going to go from verse 6 through. I'm trying not to do the whole chapter. Go to verse 5. So also Jesus, Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he said unto him, thou art my son. Come on, y'all. Did you see this? Did you see how this works? Jesus didn't try to make himself that way, okay? But he rather listened at what heaven was saying. And heaven said, thou art my son. Glory to God. Same thing he's saying to you. You are his son. He don't need you to come in his presence with accusations. That's the devil's job. He's the accuser of the brother. See? Our job is to come into his humility, knowing that it's God, Christ, that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He says, the heaven's conversation was, but he said unto him that thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he said in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, Jesus, when he had offered prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. It was her that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Wait a minute. That means unto all them that believe. That means I don't have to go around trying to author, write my own salvation plan. Amen. Because he gave that job to Jesus. And Jesus did it because he heard that thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. See, the conversations of heaven are just different from what you hear around here. God speaks from the end of a thing. And then Jesus went through the process and started speaking just like heaven and said, it is finished. Glory to God. I hope you caught that. Being made perfect, verse 9, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. How does that happen? Because you're going about trying to establish your own righteousness. And then you get caught in the quagmire of I deserve or don't deserve. See? God doesn't even want those conversations to be in your life. Amen. You're dull of hearing. Hearing that thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. For in the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as have need of milk and not strong meat. It says you become like those. You don't take the word of truth and receive it. You take the word of truth and argue with it, trying to position yourself in a way where you can say, well, now I deserve it. Jesus didn't have that conversation. He took, made of himself no reputation, but simply humbled himself. And because he humbled himself, God said, look at my son. Now every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Why? Because thou art my son. He says, you become such as have need of milk. Interesting here. It didn't even say that you drink the milk. It just said you had need of it. You don't even want strong meat. You want to be reminded of how unworthy you feel. But he says this. He says, for everyone that uses the milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness because he keeps acting like a babe, a 130-year-old babe. Okay? You're supposed to grow in grace. Okay? Not supposed to just stay at the door of grace. Come on in with a full heart, a true heart, a full assurance. Come on in. He says, for everyone that uses, that goes back to the beginning, everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Notice what he says you're unskillful in. Not emotional reactions. You're unskillful in the word of righteousness. Wow. When he said to you, thou art my son, this day I have begotten you. See? He found us in our blood, drowning in our own blood, or drowning in the injury that we caused ourselves. And he said to us, live. See? He didn't even try to say, fix yourself. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. He says, Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So then whatever you're facing, there is a word of righteousness that has been given to you. Amen. 66 books of nothing but that word that has been given to you, where you don't have to try to execute the things step by step in the flesh. You can receive it all at one time. Yeah, all at one time. Because we who were he who knew no sin was made to be sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Yeah, see? It didn't say that you are, just so that we get it. It didn't say that you are being fashioned or starting over. He said you were already made the righteousness of God. So we beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as one that has been made. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, who by reason of use exercise their, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Wow. Notice he said you can cause your senses, your emotions, touch, taste, feel, handle. You can train them to be exercised to discern both good and evil. Please notice that he put the good first. So I would submit to you that God is not interested in you telling him how ugly you is, your ugly outfit. Start with the good. Amen. Your senses have been exercised, and they've been exercised first in the good. Amen. Amen. That's what he wants us to do, so that we can finish the work that we've been chartered to do. Jesus told us, go into all the world, make disciples of not some men. Come on, y'all. Not just your friend. Make disciples of all men. Have so much glory being released, as we said last time about Peter, when he was walking around and it says that his shadow caused healings. He didn't go have church service. He was on his way to the store. And on the way back from the store, his shadow caused healing. And it didn't cause a little bit of healings. It says they were all healed. I'll take you over there just a minute. I'm going to finish this one. It says, our senses will be exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, wow. I'm sorry, y'all. Sorry. I said between. He didn't say between, did he? He said both. What does that mean? That I can enjoy the revelation of good, period. I don't have to go back to the evil. Because it's my choice, both are in front of me. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. See? It's up to us to understand. Exercise our senses to discern good. And since I discern good, I'll just stay in good. See, I'm walking, traversing in the promised land now. See? I'm not trying to take a day in the promised land and 3 days in the evil land. Why should I go to Goshen? Why should I go away from Goshen and back to Egypt? Your senses will know. No, you can just stay here. You can rest in the Lord. And when you rest in the Lord, you can now do good. Yeah. See? I mean, this is what's in front of us. See? Our senses will be exercised to know both good and evil, to discern it. Okay, we'll even go there. He said to discern both good and evil. So I'll discern and say this is good. I'll take that. Amen. This is evil. I'll leave that. Amen. I mean, right there in the scripture. He says, therefore, because of this, everything he just said. Anytime you see the word therefore, please back up and see what it's there for. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. That tells me from the word that God is interested in us functioning in perfection. Oh, we can't function. What did he just tell us to do? He said, let us go on unto that. Because what we've done is we keep going back to the place where our thinking is, well, we don't deserve it because of this, that, and the other. All of that has been washed away, beloved. So once you wash the baby, you don't put the baby back in the dirty water, do you? Amen. You get rid of the dirty water. And God is so good that after we have the bath, now he says, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. Glory to God. But see, out of your bellies flowing rivers of living water, he said, this he spoke about the Holy Ghost. So then when I'm praying in other tongues, I'm now partaking of those fountains of living water. And then I get strengthened by that fountain of living water. So then I can now go on unto perfection. Amen. See, that's what he wants us, he's expecting us to do. So that we can then invite people into the paradise that we've been invited into. Okay? So going back to let us draw near, Hebrews chapter 10. He says that our bodies would be washed with pure water. That's the process. Okay, let's read it again so we start over. 10:22. Let us draw near. You can't do this from a distance, beloved. Okay, wow. That's good. Wow. Mm. See, COVID kind of messing things up because people now are of the mindset that they can just go online. God just told us here, draw near. Amen. Again, he's going to say, don't be like those that forsake the assembly of themselves together as the manner of some is. But let us exhort one another daily while it is called today. See? He wants you to draw near. In the Old Testament, they didn't have, they were not blessed the way we were. They would go into the worship service. They would go to the temple, and then one person would stand up for to read. That's what it said in Luke chapter. Jesus took the roll, and he stood up for to read, as the custom was in that day. So then they did not have the ability to retain scriptures, which we do. They would just go there, and they would read the scripture, and that would encourage one another that way. See? But we have been the ones that are blessed with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and his job is to bring to our remembrance what Jesus said. Wow. Teach us all things. Show us things to come. He's going to lead us into the truth and give us power. You can find that in John chapter 14, verse 26, 15, 26, 16, 13, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That's the fivefold ministry of the Holy Spirit, if you would. Okay? So then the Holy Spirit now can bring to our remembrance what Jesus said, and we can then, out of our bellies, let that flow, receive the strength from there. Okay? That's why he said that we're supposed to draw near. because we become more accustomed to the new life than the old life. Whenever the devil comes, he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, but I am there, I am come, that you might do what? Have life and have it more abundantly. I'm here to take authority over that, to be more than that thing that he's presenting to you. See, I'm going to let you live in more abundantly life. I can cover up what the devil's doing more abundantly. So take my yoke, learn of me. You'll find the rest unto your souls. So he says he wants us to come near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed pure water. Okay? So my body not going to give me trouble anymore. Glory to God. Well, that's true too, sir. Yeah. My body is going to be washed with pure water, with living water, with water that's going to cause life to happen. And life swallows up death. Amen. Okay? And he says, let us then, because of that, once you go to the place where you are washing your body with pure water, then hold fast your profession of faith wavering. Why? Because you're strong enough to hold on? No, because he is faithful that promised. See, this whole thing goes back to God, and let him who began a good work finish the work. So the points that I brought out, we have to have a true heart and full assurance of faith. We cannot have a heart that's condemned, a heart of worry, fear, or dread, apprehension, a body that's washed with pure water, the process of hearing the word, receiving the word, and living the word. And you can say that, you can see that again in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 to 25. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Christ is the head of the church and the savior of the body. So then these same principles that he says you should do for your wife is what Jesus did for us. Being the head of the church and the savior of the body, what did he do? Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ in all things, he says, let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Then he says, husbands, do something for me. Love your wives. Love your wives the way that Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. And what did he do in this process? He said that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what Christ did for us. See? So it says that the same way that Jesus did it for his body, we should do it. So then this washing of the water by the word changes everything. Come on now. If you look at the body of Christ, you might see people that don't look holy in the body. Amen. But Jesus didn't get mad about that. He said, no, I gave myself for that person that's living like that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to wash that person with the water of the word so that I can present it to myself. See, God trusts his word and secondly, trusts the procedures of his word. So then if he has to wash over and over and over, you know what he's going to do? He's going to wash over and over and over. Amen. With the water of the word. He's going to declare good, bless them. That's what blessed means. It means empowered to prosper. So he's going to bless his body. He's going to give them the ability to prosper with the word that washes them so that they will not have any wrinkle, spot, a blemish, or any such thing. Wow. But that it may be holy, that it may be glorious. Wow. That it may be blameless and without blemish. I mean, you know, see, I hear it, sometimes we wash and then rub dirt over the place that we just washed by a confession that says, I know they're going to do, he washes with the water of the word, which empowers us to come out of the trouble. He does not alter the thing that has come out of his mouth. He says, this body is going to be without blemish, holy, without spot, without wrinkle. Wow. See, we've got to come with a heart that thinks like that, holding fast to what we just said by the Spirit of God. See, knowing that that which was spoken was a living word. Holding fast without wavering, no doubting or becoming fearful, because he that promised is the one that is faithful. Being confident that this very thing, that he that begun the good work will complete it, will cause it to happen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. See? He wants to allow us to win by the word. Come on, that. He wants to allow us to win by the word that was spoken over us. Do you see that? They might not be acting like you want them to act, but bathe them, please. Wash them with the word. Don't wash them with your emotions. See? Don't wash them. That's good, sir. Don't wash them in a limited way, and they won't have to live a limited life. Amen. Yeah, because in the children of Israel, what they did is they limited the Holy One of Israel. That's what they did. Don't you do that. Cause them to be able to be hauled between two. Keep washing them with the word. Amen. See? Perpetually cleansing them. You know, there was a prophet of God, and he was married to a prostitute. Hosea, married to a prostitute. And it was evident God didn't tell him to leave. God told him to live right before her, because the testimony of your life will be intertwined with her life if you continue the process. Glory to God. I hope you saw that. He intertwines the washing with the faithful word of God that said they will be spotless, without wrinkle, blemish, holy, no kind of talking about, no more. I mean, that's the life that Jesus lives. He ever lives to make intercession. And his intercession is not, you see how ugly they is? That's not part of his intercession. So it shouldn't be part of ours, should it? Amen. Amen. So we got to have that confidence. See, that comes out of a true heart, full assurance in faith. So we got there. This is the dump off. That's what I got because of last week. We were dealing with Mark chapter four. And so I guess we can go back and pick up a couple of things, because this is what he said in verse 23 to 25. Okay. So as we go to the place where we're going to wash them, believe with them and for them, because he said, ask me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. The heathen. They ain't thinking about being saved. But he said, ask me and I'll teach you the process of washing by the water of the word, and they will come out. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of God. See? He said in Mark chapter 4, verse 23-25, he says the same thing that he said in Revelation. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Let me just ask a question. If I have ears that are stopped up by frustration, anger, fear, can I hear? He said, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. See? So I can't have ears that are stopped up. I can't have my thinking say, I'm full up of this, that, or the other. So I've got to hear that I have been placed here in the earth for them. Make disciples of all men. It says unto them, take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And to unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away that which he hath. He said, take heed how you hear. I don't want you to be double-minded here. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That man don't even supposed to think he can receive anything of the Lord. Okay? So he says, take heed what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to the voice of the Spirit. And then use what you heard by the voice of the Spirit for everyday living. The just shall live by his faith. See? This is how we open up the victory that we, wow, sir. This is how we open up the victory we've been placed in. We've been placed in the grace of God. And he said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith you have been placed, called. See? You stand fast. Learn to listen to the unique voice of the Father. His sheep know his voice. The voice of another, they will not pay attention to that. They won't hear that. It didn't say that they would stop the voice. It just said they won't hear the voice of another. Wow. So that puts the onus back on us rather than trying to say, I wish you'd shut up. I wish you'd stop talking. No, I don't hear the other voice. I'm busy hearing what the voice of the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Wow. I'm trying to give you strategies to help walk this thing out. Yeah. But in order to do that, you got to kind of be determined. Because what you hear will determine how you do it and how you receive it. What you hear determines the what and the how of your life. Yeah. Be careful. Take heed to what you hear. For the same measure that you measure as you were hearing it is what's going to be measured when you need it. If you didn't hear but a little, you're not going to be able to use but a little. Amen. If you heard it, but then when you looked at the problem, you heard the voice that said, they ain't never going to. See how that works? The devil steals the word. See? By your own thinking. That's why God says that thinking got to be renewed. You shouldn't use that thinking for the rest of your life. Amen. Your thinking got you to where you are. In order to get further, you're going to have new thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. The unrighteous man forsake his ways. And then let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Because his word will not return to him void, but it will prosper in the thing. It will accomplish that which he pleases. Keep hearing that. Those are your ordered steps. Preordained, ordered steps. You have to be determined to protect what you heard. If you don't protect or use what you heard, then what will happen is that wayside seed becomes a magnet for the devil to come and get it. Okay? Use it. Rehearse it. Say it over and over. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that's written therein, and then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Only be thou of a good courage. See? So you're going to have to purpose to hide the word in your heart, in the area. Okay, all right, this is fresh. Hide the word in your heart, in the area you want the word to produce. Don't hide the word in an area you don't want the word to produce in. Don't put it in a closet. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't put it under a bed. Hide the word in the area that you want the word to produce fruit. That's fresh. First time I heard that. That was good. You know, sometimes you heard something and you knew good and well you were not going to use it ever. Thought that person must be crazy. See, you didn't hide that word in an area that you wanted it to be used in. It can't produce fruit where you didn't want it. Amen. Wow. That was good, Lord. See, so in order to do that, you're going to have to first prepare the ground. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Break up the fallow ground and then remove the thorns. Again, back to reference in Mark chapter 4. These are they which are sown on thorny ground, okay? Among thorns, stony ground. He said, break up the fallow ground. And then do not sow among the thorns. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. And Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 through 13 says this. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Wow. And reap in mercy. See, this is maybe some of the intercession that we need to understand for our family members. It says, sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. Don't sow and then say they acted crazy tomorrow. Reap in mercy. See? Because God was merciful to you. I know he's merciful to me. See? Because I know the hell that I was living in and living by. But the word got in there. I sowed in righteousness so that I can reap in mercy. I didn't try to just go out and do it the next day. See, I was not trying to make demands on that word that I heard. I just hid the word in an area of my life that I wanted to use it in. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Wow. So when you sow in righteousness, he says, now I need for you to seek the Lord. He said, seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Oh, my Jesus. I hope you heard that. He says, when you sow this way, you can now wait on the Lord, and he's going to rain righteousness on you. He says, you've plowed in wickedness, and you've reaped iniquity, and you've eaten the fruit of lies because you didn't trust, because you trust in your way, and you trusted in the way of the multitude of men. Glory to God. Y'all, I was having such a good time. I didn't even look at what time it was just now. we could go on. I'll try to pick this up right here next week so that we can, you know, hear more about sowing in righteousness. And then since you sowed in righteousness, reap in mercy. I can't make demands on people because I want it, because I see it. I'm believing God for this and that. Sow in mercy. Sow in righteousness. Reap in mercy. That's the plan of God, the process of God. See? He's patient because he knows his word is accurate. It's going to do what he sent it to do. It will not return to him void. But as we always say, the choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for your word that you sent to heal and deliver. Father, we won't stay the same. We'll be changed from glory to glory. We'll be those that are becoming stronger and stronger, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Thank you, Father, that as we are a full age and we have our senses exercised to discern between good and evil, we can now stand in the good place that you called us to. And we can reap the harvest that you planted in our spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word to perform. Thank you that we can now expect good at your hand, because that is the one that loves us, died for us, and rose from the dead so that we can live again. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Submitting it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, as we do, we get to the end. We ask you if you have any questions or comments about the ministry today. We'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. Area code 770-843-1578. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry? 770-843-1578. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I think you kind of really hit some things hard there, and I'll share them with you. As far as what went on with Job toward his end, because it was directly in line with God preparing your heart. He was supposed to, when they first found the cancer, they sewed him back up, and they said, we can't do anything with this. You have colon cancer.
Right.
Till we can't do anything. That was November of 2006, thinking he couldn't, he wasn't going to live 6 months. He lived until June of 2009. But he told me in November when I went up to see him that the Lord told him just what you were saying, to prepare his heart. And he would sit down and spend that time consecrating himself, having the Lord knew to wash him with that word and to change him. And I could tell you all the things that went on until the end. On the last, the night before he went home, he was laying in his hospice bed with his hospice nurse, who went to his church, and told her, I got my ticket. She said, where do you think you're going? Thinking, because he lost his mind. He says, you know where I'm going. She says, you're going to heaven in a few minutes if you ain't playing. He said, yes, and I'm leaving in the morning. The next day at 10 o'clock in the morning, we got a call saying he had just left. We got there so fast, the funeral home hadn't even gotten there. That is how faithful he was in his going and how much he had to wash and prepare his heart to send him home to be with him. So I'm just sitting here just doing what you're doing. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my God, you're awesome.
Wow. All right. That's what I had to share.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That'll last the rest of my life right there. That's for sure. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Area code 770-964-7501. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight?
I was just enjoying the testimony just now.
Amen.
And just was talking about how the preparedness that God gets us to in order to deal with just about any situation. Like he said, if we get our hearts in a place, then I guess the scripture comes to life, he can lead and guide us into all truth. So to hear that testimony that just now, because it showed you can be led by the Spirit, it made me feel a whole lot better.
Come on. Yeah. Wow. And when that's the worst thing you could ever be faced with, and he still guides you through that, come on, y'all. Come on.
Yeah.
Whew. That's shouting ground right there.
Yeah.
That is shouting
Think
ground.
Think about the hell in the midst. When most folks are dreading and he had all this peace because he had got a word from God, what it was, I'm preparing a place for you, and where I go there, you'll be also.
Come on. Yeah.
It has to be awesome to hear from God and know when you're getting ready to go, and he already got you prepared as the bride and the bridegroom.
Come on. That's just good stuff right there. Wow. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being on the call. It looks like other people dropped off. So, again, I want to thank you and ask you if this ministry has been a blessing to you. And if you've been challenged to grow or you have come to a place where you can rest, then please allow God to reveal to you how you can be a blessing to this ministry through the ministry of giving. Just go to the website, livedeliverance.com, and you can find the donate tab and sow your seed. Yes. Sow in righteousness. Because we're only on the air because of your generous gifts of love offerings that you give. Those of you who are cyber members here at livedeliverance.com, we want to thank you for seeking the Lord and partnering with us as we take the gospel to all the world. Also, we want to remind you that you can invite your friends, family members, or coworkers to join us here on Monday night from 9 to about 10:30. As we all grow in faith and fellowship in the Spirit, right here on livedeliverance.com. So until the next time that we are together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Love y'all. Be blessed.